For several weeks, we have looked somewhat at the book of Acts. It's supposed to be an introduction study of the book of Acts. You already know that it is not, and it has not been, a verse-by-verse study of this particular book of the New Testament. You already know that it is the fifth book of the New Testament following the four Gospels. The title of this particular book says it all. It's the Acts, or the works of the apostles. And let me add here in our study tonight that it is a book that deals with the fulfillment of the words of Jesus. And by that I mean that Jesus made several statements in his ministry pointing to things that were to happen in the future. And I have selected four of these statements that are made by Jesus. The first one was, I will build my church. And you know that that is in the future when he says, I will. He didn't say, I just did, or I have. He said, I will, pointing to the future. After his death and after his resurrection, Jesus gave commandments to his apostles to go make disciples in all nations, baptizing and teaching these that obeyed the gospel. And this was an order, a commandment that Jesus made to his apostles. This was the acts or the works that the apostles were to make, preach the gospel and help in the conversion of people. But before his death, Jesus also made a statement to his apostles. And the statement that he made it several times, that he would give them another helper. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. He told his apostles that he was about to leave. He was not going to be with them after a short time. And that he would be sending someone else. I am leaving and the helper will be coming. And he also mentioned to these same apostles that they would be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. So these are some of the statements we find in the future tense, where Jesus is pointing to a time when these events were to take place, the fulfillment of them. So these are the fulfillments that we have studied so far, just briefly, in our study of the book of Acts. But tonight, we want to deal with the promise that Jesus made to his apostles that he would be sending another helper, the Holy Spirit, and how they, the apostles, would be witnesses to Jesus in their ministry, in their work. And when we speak about the promise to the apostles, this is very important. And I ask, is this a promise or is this a commandment that was made to the apostles? You know the answer. You know very well what the answer is. The apostles were promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus made the promise. And in the book of John, now we don't have time to read all of these verses. Now, if you want a copy of this PowerPoint presentation, just let me know after services and we will accommodate you. But in John chapter 14, I do want to read these verses. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. These were the words of Jesus to his apostles. And these words are again repeated in chapter 15, verse 26, and in chapter 16, and in verse 13. So you see where Jesus is making a point, not only of saying it once, but of saying it several times, what was the promise that was made to the apostles. Now Luke writes the account of the words of Jesus in chapter 24 of Luke, beginning with verse 46 on down to verse 49. And in this particular passage, Jesus is telling them where they will receive the Holy Spirit. It was going to be in the future, and he's telling them to wait in the city of Jerusalem, and that in the city of Jerusalem, the apostles would be receiving the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. The promise was given, and the location of the fulfillment of this promise is given. So these are not left up to us to decide or to guess as to when, where, and what of this particular promise. But then when we get to the book of Acts in chapter 1, now we have already looked at this in our class. In chapter 1, in verses 4 and 5, Luke gives us a pretty good idea as to how this is in complete harmony with the Gospels. This is beautiful language. Let me emphasize that. It is beautiful because it's in harmony. It backs up. One says it, the other one backs it up. We have the Gospel of John. We have Luke writing in the Gospel. And now Luke is writing in chapter 1, and actually in the whole book of Acts, the fulfillment of these promises. In verses 4 and 5, especially verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Again, it's happening, but it's about to happen. This is what Jesus told his apostles. This was a promise made only to the apostles, if you please. And then in verse 8, of this same chapter 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, and look at it, witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Again, hear the words of Jesus spoken to his apostles. What's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. And then in chapter 12, in verses 12 through 14, we have Luke telling us how these men had come together. Look at verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, etc. The writer goes to the extent of naming who was there. How many apostles were there? 11, not 12, because one of them had committed suicide, Judas, after betraying the Lord. And here the 11 are called together, and the promise is given to them to remain in Jerusalem, and that's where they stayed. They stayed in the city of Jerusalem. And we hear and we read all the way down to verse 14 how Luke is talking about how this promise was made and how this was to happen. In chapter 2 and in verse 17 begins what Peter quotes as the prophecy of Joel. Not only do you have the word of John, the writer, not only do you have the word of Luke, but Luke is Peter is even going all the way back to the Old Testament to prove his point that what has been happening here among, or what about, is had happened, was going to happen, was going to take place in Jerusalem, and exactly speaking about the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened? The promise was made, and then the promise was fulfilled. The apostles received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. What happened? You know, it is very interesting. And I say interesting, and it's very clear that when these apostles received the Holy Spirit, there was a demonstration of the power of God. How do we know? Well, Luke writes about it in verse 2. Well, before that, look at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who is the they? The apostles. Only the apostles. And why do we say that? Because the promise was made to the apostles. The promise of the Holy Spirit was not made to all people. It was made only to the apostles. That's what the record says. And that's what Luke writes here in chapter 2 in verse 1. And in verse 2 and 3, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It happened. What was promised happened. Now God chose the day. God chose the place. God chose the method. God chose the element, which is the Holy Spirit and power, etc. This was all God's doing. Man, these apostles had nothing to do with the receiving of the Holy Spirit except to obey God's commandment. That's it. That is very important to remember because of all of the false doctrines that are going around the world since I can remember. And they will continue as long as we're here. People have a very distorted view of all of this. We don't have time to go into that, but I need to make that particular statement. So here, later on in verse 5, Luke continues to write, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them, the apostles, speak in his own language. And in verse 7, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? All of the apostles that were chosen by Jesus were from Galilee. So these were the men that received the Holy Spirit. That's what the record states. Also, the record states here in this chapter 2 that the apostles would begin their responsibility of being witnesses to Jesus, and they started in Jerusalem. What you read here in what I've just read from verse 1 through verse 4 emphasizes what happened with the apostles in receiving the Holy Spirit. Peter, in verses 32 and 33 of chapter 2, he says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Who were the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus? The apostles. The apostles were witnesses. And they are saying, here we are. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ, the apostles, if you please. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, that is Jesus, poured out this which you now see and hear. When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, according to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it made a noise. It made a scene. To the point that the men that were there, the people that witnessed this, they heard and they saw. They heard and they saw. And by way of these apostles receiving the Holy Spirit, and by their testimony, by their speaking in tongues, they started their job, their work as witnesses to Jesus. And it started all in Jerusalem. And from here, it extended to the end of the world, as Jesus stated. So that's what we know concerning the promise. Concerning the promise that was given to the apostles. But let me tell you, and we're not there yet in our study, but I need to bring it up. The only other time in the New Testament, and don't blame me for this, this is what the record states. The only time other than Acts chapter 2 when people received the Holy Spirit is when Cornelius, his family, and those that had been invited received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, and let us go there. We know what happened. We know the sermon that Peter preached to Cornelius and those that he had invited. We know that he preached, but he didn't finish his sermon because something happened in verse 44 of chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. That's what the record says. Let me tell you, that's all we know. I'll repeat it. That's all we know. And I'll add something else free of charge. We never heard again from Cornelius. Never heard more about him. Later on in that chapter 11, later on in chapter 15, what happened here with Cornelius and those that he had invited, this issue comes up. But let me tell you, when you compare what happened with Cornelius and his family and those that had been invited, what does Luke say about this? What does Luke say about this? He says that the Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. The apostles were what? Were they Gentiles? There were Jews. The promise was made to them. And here in Acts chapter 10, the Lord is pouring out the Holy Spirit to Gentiles. Something very different from what happened in Acts chapter 2. The recipients were different, of a different race. And shall I say something else? Was Cornelius a Christian? May I ask? He was not. They were not Christians. None of those in the household were Christians yet. When did they become Christians? When did they become Christians? The verse tells you in verse 47 and 48, when they were baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon them before they obeyed the gospel. But God made that decision. Why did he make it? To prove the point that salvation was also being made available to the Gentiles. That's what astonished so much those Jews that had come with Peter to accompany him in his work. So Cornelius and his family received the Holy Spirit. And later in chapter 11 and in verses 15, 16, and 17, when Peter is talking about what had happened in the household of Cornelius, this is what he says. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. What happened to Cornelius and his family when they received the Holy Spirit exactly happened with us at the beginning. So these are the only two cases that you have in the New Testament and in the book of Acts of people receiving the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter says. And let me emphasize that later on in chapter 15, in verse 8, when the elders of the church of Jerusalem, when the church came together, when the apostles came together to deal with the issue of circumcision, Peter got up and he spoke. He made it known what had happened with him. And we read in verse 8 of chapter 15, Peter says, "So God, who knows the heart," and I'll stop there. Do you know what that means? That means that this was the decision of God. This was God's decision. This was his plan, that this is how this was going to happen. And we read this, and we should be satisfied with what the Bible says. This was God's doing. And that's what Peter is here emphasizing. Let me continue. "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us." God who knows the hearts. God who knows the situation. So these are the only two cases that we have of people receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, may I ask why, again, why did Cornelius and his family receive the Holy Spirit? Does anybody know? It was because of a promise. And Joel makes it, and Peter refers to it in chapter 2. That was the prophecy that was made. Now, let me go a little bit further. There is a lot of issue with Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Now, this is something separate and apart from receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was received as a promise made. But was the promise made for everyone? Did Christ promise the Holy Spirit for all believers, for all people? No. It was only for the apostles. So that's what we know. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter answers the question, what shall we do? He told those people what they needed to do in order to save themselves. He told them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, a very simple solution to their problem. May I read it? He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. This particular issue has caused a lot of problems. But the commandment was repent and be baptized. And if you are baptized, you will receive the forgiveness of your sin. That was salvation. That was forgiveness. And in that particular verse, 38, he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the gift. And what is the gift? What is the gift that was made to anyone who repents and is baptized? It is the forgiveness of sin. And in verse 39, we stay with the context. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The gift was not what the apostles received, the Holy Spirit. The gift was not what Cornelius, his family, and those invited received. The gift of the Holy Spirit was for every person that repented and was baptized. You stay in the context. Don't read just verse 38. Read verse 39. Verse 39 goes with verse 38. That's why I've been telling you all along, and others have told you the same thing, read the context. Don't just read a verse. Don't read a phrase. Read the context, so that you can get the whole picture. And that's what we have here. The gift of the Holy Spirit was the remission of sins. And this remission of sins was promised to you, to your children, to those that are afar off. Who are the afar off? Who knows? Come on, you know who it is. The Gentiles. The Gentiles. This was not only for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles, those that are afar off. And as many as the Lord our God will call. How does God call sinners? Through the gospel. So the gospel is preached to who? To all people, without exception. So this promise of forgiveness is for who? For all people. You notice the difference? Look at the language. Look at the sentence. Look at the way it comes together. It comes together to point at the very simple issue. The Holy Spirit to the apostles and to Cornelius and his household. And over here you have the promise of forgiveness to all people that repent and are baptized. We dealt also briefly with Stephen. And we talked about Stephen. And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at Acts chapter 6, it is repeated. It is repeated quite often as to what happened with Stephen. And what we know of Stephen is the fact that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to, when you do, make time to look at what happened with Barnabas. The same phrase, full of the Holy Spirit, and the context in both cases point to the fact that these men had the Holy Spirit. They were able able to work miracles. And we know that because Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7, it uses the same language. And the context is helping us to understand that this is exactly what happened. Our time is up, Steve.